We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Yes. And my message tonight is, it's all about the message. That's my title. It's all about the message. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message. And 1 Corinthians talks about this, and Paul makes a great case about this, because in Corinth, they were having a lot of division. People were saying, you know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of this one, I'm of that one, and he's trying to make a point, we're all of Christ. And that's how it's happened today with all these denominations and movements. Everybody's trying to divide Christ up and form their own little doctrine, when really, if we're in Christ, we're all in Christ. Yes, we may worship a little different, music may be a little different, customs may be a little bit different, but we got to stick together as a body of Christ. And you know, one thing I love about military people and about policemen, that's two areas we can really see this. There's so much camaraderie among those groups of people. They're for each other. They'll fight for each other, and they'll die for each other. You think every cop likes every other cop? Of course not. They're human beings. Every cop don't like every other cop. There's, you know, John ain't might like Fred. He's an arrogant, big old, you know, arrogant, thinks he's bad. Wait, they have that too. But you know, when it comes down to when it's real, they're cops. They're a team. They're together. When 9/11 happened, New York City came together in a very special way. And for the first time in my lifetime, I was proud of the Yankees. They really came together. And they showed, you know what? New Yorkers, their tough exterior, they came together in unity. And they said, we're New Yorkers. You mess with us. You mess with all of us. And we seem to have that camaraderie among different groups, nurses, teachers. But when it comes to Christians, it seems to be very divided sometimes. Very divided. And it shouldn't be that way. And so Paul talks about this, and it all goes back to the message. You know, the cops have that saying, that motto, to protect and serve, right? To protect and serve, that's their motto. We will protect and we serve. As Christians, we should have the same motto. As Christians, we are here to serve, to follow and to serve. Follow Christ and serve Christ. Regardless of our denomination, regardless of our background, regardless of, you know, how we're raised, if we are part of the family of God, we're part of God's family. We all wear the same badge, the badge of honor, the badge of his blood, to declare, yes, I'm God's child. And so Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, we're going to pick up in verse 10, says this. Y'all, somebody laughing at me. I said 1 Corinthians. I announced that. I announced that too. Anybody remember the title of the message I just said? Thank you. My title was, it's all about the message. It's all about the message. Oh, thanks. Sell me out now, Pastor Stacy. It's all about the message. Verse 10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Look at that. I'm telling all the Christians, speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's pretty clear. Now, I understand we're all a little different. That's okay. But the message should be so consistent that if someone goes to Connie on the street, and someone goes to Miss Sharon on the street, someone goes to Vicky on the street, someone goes to Tony on the street, and someone goes to Alex on the street, that each one of those people ought to have the same message. What do you believe? I believe Jesus died for your sins. I believe Jesus died and rose the third day and secured our redemption. That's what I believe. But we get too caught up sometimes in following the messengers. And the one thing tomorrow we'll experience at Billy Graham Library, which is, I've been there 3 times, I think, now total. It's beautiful. And if you've not been, what you're going to experience is, yes, Billy Graham is a wonderful servant of God. He's dedicated his whole life, and, you know, I am just a drop in a vast world of a bucket of what he has accomplished in the spiritual world. The people he's reached, the faces he has touched, and the millions and millions and millions of ears that have heard the message. But when you think of Billy Graham, don't you think more of the message than you really do the messenger? And that's how it should be. You think of the message. When you think of Billy Graham, you think about the grace message that he preached all over the world, the blood of Jesus. That's what he preached. And he's very clear about that. You hear him ever talk or testify, he's very clear. When they first built the Billy Graham Library, before they opened it for the public, he had them change it. And they may tell you this tomorrow. I'm not sure if that was told or I read that. I can't remember. But they had him change a lot of things because here's what he said. He walked through it to tour before they opened it to the public, and he said, there's too much Billy Graham in here, not enough Jesus. So he said, we got to redo some things. That's what it should be. Anybody that went to a Billy Graham crusade, whether it was 1957 or 2008, whatever, every person, every generation heard the same message. There was no division. There was no, I teach one thing to one group and another thing to another group. That brings confusion. There was always consistency where he preached the cross of Jesus. That was the message. And we don't need to add one thing to that. We don't need to try to out-trick the traditional teaching of Christ. We don't have to try to ad-lib and make it spicy and jazz it up. The cross is perfect and complete just as it is. And church, that message will draw the masses if we preach that message. So when Miss Sharon or Miss Vicky or Miss Alex or Miss Connie run into somebody they work with or at the grocery store or whatever, and they're searching for answers, and each one of them deliver the same message, then each one of them have directed that person to the message of what brings healing. Jesus, he changed me. Jesus can change you. Because see, the cross represents every walk of life. The cross is strong enough for a drug addict. It's strong enough for an alcoholic. It's strong enough for the harlot. It's strong enough for the blasphemer. It's strong enough for the wife beater. It's strong enough for those searching for answers and don't know what the truth is. It is strong enough to reach every person, whatever level they are at. The cross cries out to all mankind that I am the answer. I am the final answer. Just like that show, is it Deal or No, or Jeopardy or whatever, Final Answer? What's that show? Yeah, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Is that your answer? Is that your final answer? And they have to say, final answer. They hit the button. The final answer is this. The cross is enough on its own. And what's happened so throughout Christianity, throughout the years and generations, each little denomination or you know, these leaders or evangelists or people try to have their own following instead of having a Christ following. And so that's why I say all the time, place your faith in the only one that died for you, the only one that rose the third day, the only one that obtained your redemption. It was not any man. It wasn't Billy Graham. It wasn't Oral Roberts. It wasn't Kenneth Copeland. It wasn't Joel Osteen. It wasn't any leader in the world. The only one that went to the cross to obtain our redemption was Jesus Christ, period. And that's the message. And what happens, so many people, they follow things. They follow a church. They follow a person. And the message gets drowned out. The message is what's important. It may be boring to some. Oh, I like it when it's... But if people would hear what the message is declaring, if we hear... Okay, let's go back to my cruise we took. The boat stopped in the water. The announcer came on. All I was listening for, they started singing in the dining room and trying to jazz it up and be all happy. I'm sitting there about to throw up. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to die. You know, such a faithful pastor, yeah, full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh. And I'm sitting there, and you know what I'm listening for? All I want to know is, I was listening for that announcement, those few words, go to your muster station. I was listening for that. That's not very exciting, but you know what? That's all I cared about. And boy, if they'd have said that, I'd have been... Man, I could have stayed at that cake all she wanted. Honey, I love you. I'm going to the muster station. I'd have been out of that table to the muster station at the post they showed me, and I would have heard that message loud and clear. I wanted the information that's going to save my life. So I didn't care. It's bingo night down on deck 6. I want to know, am I going to go to my muster station? Are we going to live or die? That's all I want to know. All I want to know is, the last thing I heard was alpha, alpha, some kind of language. All I want to hear is, am I going to live or die? Am I okay? And so the message is what's truly important. It's what's important. You fly for a job. All you want to hear, you don't want to hear, well, you are a good applicant, and you got a great resume, and you really look good, and you know everything's fine, and I see you went to, you know, this university. Did I get a job? Yes or no? I get it. I don't want any, all the accolades don't matter. I want to know, did I get the job? So the message of the cross is what people need to hear. And Paul is saying, look, quit. There shouldn't be any divisions, and you all should be speaking the same thing. You all should be speaking Jesus crucified and risen. Jesus crucified for your sins and risen for your righteousness. And it's that simple. How we've gotten so far from that, and we're preaching all kinds of stuff. Church, I'm saddened by this. I understand the church needs finance. We can't operate without it. And we're supposed to give unto God our tithes and offerings. I understand that, believe that. But when you turn on channel after channel and all they're talking about is money, all they're talking about is, sow a seed and have a miracle in 27 minutes. I mean, I'm hearing stuff like that. You know, I'm like, my God, that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus crucified and risen, for everything's going to pass away. All of our miracles, all of our blessings are going to stay here. And the one thing that won't stay here is our redemption with Him. That goes on. And that's what's important. Now, church, I believe in being blessed. I'm not saying that. I'm not preaching to be poor. I'm just saying we've gotten so off the mark in so many cases of the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached, because we want to scratch the ears of our followers. And if we can tell them something that'll draw their excitement and make them want to keep coming back, I'm telling you, the message is enough to keep them coming back if it's preached right. The message. Because people are searching for something to fill their emptiness. People want to know, man, I've sinned, Pastor. I went a long way. I don't always act the way you see me on Sunday mornings. I know that. I don't act that way either. Pop in on a Thursday at 3 o'clock at my house, see how we act. And I understand that. We all there. We all got our issues. I understand that. And so, thank God I have a Savior who looks beyond my faults and saw my need, as the song says. I have a Savior who looked ahead in time and knew, after He called my name and knocked on my heart and drew me to the cross, that after that I would still in the flesh fail Him. But His redemption plan never fails. It never gets canceled. My policy goes on and on and on and on forevermore because of what Christ did for me. Man, that's the message. And that's the gospel. And that's what makes Jesus so spectacular, and the cross so sacred, because it changed everything. So Paul is saying, don't get caught up in all the divisions. Verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are at the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Contentions. Now this I say, every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? And look what he says here. I love this next part. Was Paul crucified for you? Or are you baptized in the name of Paul? Wow. All these divisions. And we see it now. We see it a different way now. You know, we may see it in ways, well, I'm part of the Southern Baptist following. You know, when you read an obituary, we all see this in obituaries, they were of the Baptist faith. They were of the Methodist faith. They were of the Lutheran faith. They were of the Catholic faith. Why don't we just say they were of the Christian faith? Really? The Christian faith. Because what people may not, I know you do tonight, but there are people that really think that there are certain denominations not going to go to heaven, certain churches not going to go to heaven if you're not part of this church. I was talking to a young man today, somebody that actually me and Joe know, but a young man who is in a church that they teach that they are the one true church, and everyone else, if you're not part of their covering, you are going to hell. They teach that. My God. When we start putting church nominations or a church name or a movement that's the only true church, the Bible speaks of the true church being the church of God. I'm not talking about the denomination church of God. Talking about the church of God. That's the true following. The people that belong to His church, the church of the living God. And there, and Paul was saying, I wasn't crucified for you. I didn't die for you. You weren't baptized in my name. So why are you putting all these people and say, I'm a follower of them, and I'm a follower of them, I'm a follower of them? The message is what changed our lives, not the messenger. I understand we like hearing a good messenger. I like hearing a good speaker. And I know there's people I like hearing. Certain preachers I like better than others, of course. They're dynamic, they're fun, they're funny, they're, you know, engaging, and we like that. But listen very carefully. Are they preaching the gospel? Look beyond all the stuff of the outward appearance. Look beyond the silver tongue. You know, look beyond the flashy ways, and are they preaching the gospel? Some are, some aren't. But we must discern that, because the messenger can't change your life. It is the message that changes our lives. It is responding to what we have heard that Christ has done for us that draws us to redemption. It's hearing the message that, yes, Jesus can wipe your slate clean. He can forgive all your past. He can secure your future, and all things can be whole in Him if you're facing Him and Him alone. And all of a sudden, we get thinking, wow, God, you do that for me? Yes. While you were still a sinner, I died for the ungodly. It is a gift from God. You're saved by grace, lest any man boast. And man, we see boasting, we see pride in certain movements, do we not? When it comes to spiritual things, we can take no pride or credit. There is nobody that has arrived. In church, I've seen it through the years. I've seen it in ministry. I've seen it with singers. I've seen it with musicians. I've seen it in Christian circles where there's an arrogance that they think that they are the best thing since Wonder sliced bread. And Wonder bread was some good stuff. Had the little red, blue, and white dots on the package. That's the good stuff. I didn't grow up with Wonder bread. That was the good stuff. And they just think, wow, I'm it. I've arrived. No, you've not. Christ arrived. Christ paid the price. Christ did it all for us. And if our faith in the message, I mean, think about this. The Samaritan woman, think about this. She came to the well that day to draw out some water. And here Jesus approached her. Now, Jesus was not a flashy man. Jesus was not dressed like Creflo Dollar. He was not dressed. I'm just saying, he wasn't dressed with gold chains. He didn't pull up in a Cadillac Camel. He didn't walk up with flashy smile. Jesus was a very common Jewish man that just walked up in his regular Jewish garb from a common family of no wealth and no reputation, and he began to talk to her. And she says, I perceive you're a prophet. He didn't have to tell her I was a prophet. He didn't have it on a business card. Prophet Jesus. Come see me. He didn't have to declare that to the world. I'm a prophet. She perceived you're a prophet because you know what I'm in right now. And he offered her something. He said, now understand, Jesus was not a king far as in the natural realm. We know he's the king of kings, but I'm talking about in the natural realm. The Bible says there was no beauty to behold of him. What that meant was he was just common. When he rode into Jerusalem, he came in on a donkey. He didn't come in a chariot. He didn't come in with big white horses with the big beautiful manes and bows in their hair and, you know, and people bowing. I mean, he came in on a donkey, on a service animal. He come in on. There was no beauty to behold of Jesus. And so when he's talking to this woman, she wasn't responding to who Jesus was in the flesh. She would respond to what he told her. I can give you living water. You can? What do you mean? Said, I can offer you something that'll satisfy you. Do you want it? Yes. Yes, I want it. And she received what Jesus had for her. And then she went back and offered that to her family. And all of them came the knowledge of saving grace. Because she responded to a message. Peter, in the upper room, we read a few weeks ago, when he came out in Acts 2, preaching that wonderful sermon, where 3,000 were added to church that day. Peter's message was all about Jesus. This same Jesus, whom you delivered up to be crucified, is risen. And this same Jesus you crucified is now Lord and Christ. And everybody's like, we want it. What do, Peter? How do we get it? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, not only you, but to all who God calls, who are afar off, and to your children. The message. The people wanted the message. You know why Donald Trump is surging right now? And mark my words, I mean, he will not be the nomination, but he's surging right now. Here's why. Because people like the message. They don't even like him personally. He's not a real likable guy. I mean, really? Can you see that face in the White House? He's not a likable guy. I mean, he's really he can be quite rude. People, though, like the message. They like what he's saying. I'm going to do this on taxes. I'm going to do this on immigration. I'm going to do this on, he says what we want to say sometimes and don't. And so people are responding to this non-political, non-DC kind of speech, and it's drawing people. And they like it. Same thing with Dr. Ben Carson. He's got a whole different message that's non-DC, and people like the message. And so that's what draws people, is the message. Same way spiritually. It's the message of Jesus that draws. You know what Jesus says? I'll be lifted up, and I'll draw all men into myself. He was talking about when he was lifted up on that cross in death, that would draw all men unto himself, because that death on the cross would lead to a life out of the tomb that would cause us to live a new resurrected life. And that message of his death for our sins and resurrection for our righteousness would travel the world, and people would hear that and respond. What they couldn't do before, they can in Christ. What they couldn't reach before, they can now with Christ. What they could never accomplish before, they can now accomplish through Christ, because he did it for us. And that's the message. And the message is what's powerful, and that's what's strong. And that's what Paul is saying. Stay focused on. Quit worrying about who baptized you, who you got saved under, who you go to counsel for. I mean, Christ is the one that did it. Verse 15, right? Lest any of you should say that I have baptized in my own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. So Paul's saying, look, I didn't baptize but a few. I'm glad I didn't, because I don't want all this. I preach. Here's what he said in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. See, we can lead a lot of people in a good direction, a direction they like, apart from the cross. But then if we do that, the cross then has no effect in their lives. If we try to have a message apart or away from the cross, we have no true message at all. Because the gospel is centered. That the cross, the death of our Lord and Savior and his resurrection, is the anchor, is the centerpiece for the gospel. And we can't have any other true gospel if we don't attach the cross to it. We can have a lot of enticing messages, a lot of fancy words, a lot of good, things that people like to hear, but if it deviates from the cross, if it deviates from the centerpiece of what Jesus did, we have no true message at all. And that's what he's saying. I don't want the cross. You know, Paul was an educated man. Paul wasn't no dummy. Paul was smart. Paul was trained, one of the best teachers of his time. Paul went to school. And Paul was a smart, in the natural, smart man. But he said, I don't choose to preach with my smartness. I preach with his holiness. I preach his righteousness. That's because I want people not to see Paul, the smart, schooled Paul. I don't want them to hear my enticing words. I want them to hear the message of Jesus. And so I want to deliver that. That's what I want to hear. Right now, let's use an example. All of a sudden, a fire breaks out in here. I'm talking about a real fire, not Holy Ghost fire. A real fire breaks out. And all of a sudden, that wall is in flames. It's under the fire, and y'all sitting over there. And I keep on preaching. Jesus loves you, and the fire's going. The power goes out. Say the lights go off. It's dark in here. Fire's going. Doors back there are closed. That door's locked. And I keep on preaching. Y'all only want to hear one thing at that point. This way! And get you out of here. All the other stuff don't matter. I mean, ushers come up. Really? Mella come to a closeout song. Holy Ghost Fire. That'd be a good song, yeah. Yeah, all you want to hear is, how do we get out of here? That's the message of Jesus. How do I get out of here? How do I get out of what I'm in? How do I get to the next level of God? How do I know I got a future? How do I know where I go when my last breath leaves my body? How do I know what my eternity holds? How can I know any of those things? The message teaches us that. Jesus fixed that for you. Glory to God. Jesus fixed that.
And that's the message. Jesus saves you from that fire. Jesus keeps you from that fire. Jesus rescued you from that fire. And his words are still permeating the generations today. 2,000 years later, he is still has the most powerful message of any message that came along is this message, the gospel. And that's why it's called good news is what it means. Gospel, good news. The good news is there was no plan. The bad news was there's no plan. The good news is now there is. The bad news was you had to fulfill the law. The good news is I fulfilled it for you. The bad news was there was no way out. The good news is I've made the way out. All of that is good news, and that's the message. And all these people trying to divide Christ and trying to get little sects of little sects here and sects of people here and all these little cliques. Get away from the cliques. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. People that aren't born again, people that have no understanding of the relationship with Christ, what's the big deal? It's a cross, Pastor. They don't get it. A man died on a cross. They say he rose again. Da da. Yeah, whatever. I don't know. Man in history. Da da da. But to those of us that know what it means, to know the value of the cross, to know the importance of the cross, to know that's the only way of redemption we have, it is the power of God to us. Because we know the cross changed us. And we know we would still be lost without it. So when we see, as a Christian, when we see a symbol of a cross, our first mind, remember what Paul said? I constantly keep before me the dying of my Lord Jesus. Paul was saying we got to continually remind ourselves of that powerful death of our Savior for us, reminding us without that we're lost, but because of that we're found. That's why amazing grace is so powerful. I once was lost, but now I'm found. He saved a wretch like me because there was no other path to him but through that. So to us, the cross means so much more. I know you've heard a story out in Oregon of the shooting at the college campus and how reports are coming out that the killer asked them what their faith was. Are you a Christian? If they were a Christian, they got shot in the head. If they weren't a Christian, I think they shot him in the leg or somewhere else. And he would make a comment, you're about to see God real soon. Why is there a target on Christians? Because there's power. Power in that. There's power in what happened at Calvary. When that earth grew dark for 3 days and the wrath of God was being poured upon the flesh of Jesus, the world was changing in that moment. All the damnation that we deserved was placed upon that Lamb of God. In the Old Testament, the high priest would, lay their hands upon these goats and upon these calves. And the idea was that, all the sins of the people were being poured into that animal. All the sins of Israel were being put upon that animal. And they would lay hands, like how we lay hands to heal people. They would lay hands on these animals as an indication, as a token of I'm laying hands on this goat that all the sins of Israel be poured upon this goat as we burn it up and sacrifice it and that the sins will be gone. Well, what happened to Jesus is all the wrath and sin of mankind was poured upon that Lamb of God. And God's hand was on that Lamb, letting all that be poured upon him. Him that knew no sin became that sin that we could become his righteousness. And all that's being poured upon Jesus. And he died with our sin. And he rose the third day with our righteousness. Man, that's powerful. And for those of us that know what the cross means, if we understand how much, if it means that, it changed our lives. And so many just think of the cross as just a Christian symbol, which it is, of course. But it's much deeper than that. It's our redemption. It's our healing. It's our future. And none of it is possible without it. What verse am I on? 19, 20? Thank you, 20. I just want to skip down to, let's get down to verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know what he's saying here? With all of our technology that can prove that we came from monkeys and that the earth just happened to happen because some great genius in space just wanted to happen or because it evolved naturally. We have all this stuff. We can see inside of a human body. If you've not seen the latest ultrasound for a pregnant lady, it's amazing the detail of that now. It's amazing. I mean, back when Melanie was having kids, it was just a fuzzy blob. There's the head. Okay, doc, I believe you. Sure. There's the toe and the foot. There's a finger. Okay, you can see that. Looks like here. It's like the Atari 2600 compared to the, you know, PS4 now. I mean, it's like night and day. It was just a fuzz block. Now it's detail. I mean, it's almost spooky. It's almost like you get, hey, buddy. Yeah, I know. Fist bump me, Junior. Hey, Dad. I mean, it's creepy. It's so clear. And we have all this technology. You know, they're saying now Mars may have life because they have found, what, water or something on it or this. And we have all this technology, all this science, all this natural knowledge. You know, we have medications and we have surgeries that can, I mean, things people died of 200 years ago now is just a common in-and-out procedure now. It takes 2 hours. It's incredible. But with all that knowledge and all that sophisticated wisdom, God says, I still use the message of the gospel to save people. The simple message that you need Jesus and that he died and he rose. With all your and we try to figure out, people, you know, scholars, you know, who is God? Who is this deity? But the Bible says who it is. You know, how was the world really formed? The Bible says how it was formed. I wonder what's in the hereafter. Where do we really go? The Bible tells us where we go. All of it's in there. But we're too smart. You know, the world's like a bunch of 16-year-olds, right? They know all the answers, but know none of the answers. And it's kind of how we are as a society. All the smartness of scientists and doctors, and thank God for them. We need them, and thank God they bring great purpose to the world. But it's still the simplicity. I mean, what's going to save a soul? I get up here Sunday morning and preach a great message of, you know, atoms and protons and neons and neurons and neutrons, yeah. Like Jimmy. Sorry. Jimmy Neutron cartoon. Anyway, I can have all this great message. Church, we were formed by the atoms, and this happens, and we have this in our bodies, and we have this, and we have a soul and a mind, a body. What's more effective? All that great knowledge of, wow, James is smart. Or you that are in your sins can be forgiven because Jesus paid a price that you would never have to hold your head down again. You will be his child forevermore and never taste death. Sign me up for that because I understand that. Sometimes we overcomplicate the gospel whenever the gospel truly is simple and needs to be preached in the way. You know, it's like a restaurant. You go to a certain restaurant and start changing things. Now, I know I've gotten bigger and my appetite's increased, but I'm telling you, back in the old days when we first started going to Outback Steakhouse back in the, you know, 90s, early 90s, they would bring you a plate of cheese fries that heaped over the plate. Heaped, huge serving for about $6 or something. We got a plate here a while back, and it was up to $9.29 now for that same plate, and it's about half the size. And I'm sitting there saying, man, I know we've gotten bigger, but I'm telling you, that is not the same amount of fries we got 15 years ago. And they jacked the price up $3. You know, when restaurants start changing stuff, don't that drive you crazy? Leave it alone. There is nothing wrong with the Mi Pablo's lunch number 7. It's perfect. 2 cheese enchiladas with the right sauce and rice. Leave it alone. Don't jazz up the sauce. Don't change the cheese. Don't change the rice. It works. And you're selling a lot of it. So keep it the same. When we start trying to change things up, we mess it up. I mean, we've all been there. We were like, you know, I went to JD's Deli one day. Got that turkey wrap. Love the turkey wrap. I took about 3 bites. I said, something ain't right. I've got this for 2 years. Something isn't right. I went back and complained. You know what she said? Well, we changed the turkey. We didn't know if anybody would notice. Yeah, I noticed. Made me a fresh one with the right kind of turkey. I could tell they had changed it, and I didn't like it. It was about made me gag. It was that bad. I'm like, oh, my gosh. They changed the turkey. Why do you mess something up that works? The Big Mac's been around a long time. It's horrible for you. It'll make you see Jesus a lot quicker. And I understand that. But you know what? The Big Mac ain't changed in, what, 40 or 50 years. It's the Big Mac. And it's still the best seller. It's still the staple of McDonald's, the Big Mac sandwich. Why change it? You just don't mess with stuff that's in place. Spiritually, we've took the gospel and divided it up to try to fit this and fit this. And, you know, well, I can't preach. You know, I can't really preach the power of the Holy Spirit because people get uncomfortable with that. Well, that's what the Bible teaches, the Holy Spirit. Why are you uncomfortable with it? Well, I don't want to teach that because, you know, I got to, you know, if I just teach grace and don't teach you got to live right, the Bible teaches grace. Why do we deviate from what the gospel message preaches and what it says and try to make up our own little things here and there and little cliques and get the, you know, steal the sheep from here and here, come to my church, I got the truth, come to my church, I'm the best, come to my church, I preach the real message. We are Christians. We are all in the same core. We are all police officers together, teachers together, nurses together. We're all one body serving the same master, one Lord, the Bible says, one Spirit, the Bible says, one baptism, the Bible says, and that is Christ and Christ alone. And I love the sign Shirley put up at the road. Our hope is in Christ alone. All of our hope is in Christ alone. Nobody else and nothing else but Him. And so Paul was trying to teach these people in Corinth, look, preaching the message the way it is all we need. And it will confound the wise. Because they can't understand that. They're too smart for their own britches, so to speak. Verse 21. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified under the Jews, a stumbling block under the Greeks. We preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, that's a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, it's foolishness. Paul is saying, that's what we preach, Christ crucified. That's the message. Don't matter if Apollos says it, don't matter if Cephas says it, or Peter, Andrew, John, Bartholomew, don't worry about who's saying it. Listen to the message. Does the message match the message, or does the messenger match the message? That's what's important. Preach the gospel. Because that's why there's so much confusion among the Christians. I said this last week. The Muslims aren't confused. They're all believe the same thing. I know all of them don't blow themselves up with bombs. I know that. But I'm talking about as far as their major teaching, all Muslims pretty much, you talk to 10 Muslims, 10 out of 10 is going to tell you the same thing. You talk to 10 Jews, they're going to tell you the same thing. 10 Catholics, same thing. 10 Jehovah's Witnesses, 10 Mormons, same thing. All across the board. 10 atheists, same thing. I don't believe. That's why you're atheist. Same thing. You talk to Christians, oh yeah, I believe you're saved by grace and grace alone. Well, I believe you got to live exactly right and not wear pants and cut your hair. Well, you can't have no tattoos, you're going to hell. Why can't you have beards, you're going to hell? Man can't have long hair, go to hell. If you smoke, go to hell. Drink, go to hell. Do drug, go to hell. Fornicate, go to hell. Commit adultery, go to hell. I mean, they got you in hell a lot more than I got you in heaven. And so we go around, we're like, my God, well, what do I believe? What Christian teaching is right? This is what's right. Jesus crucified and risen. And I promise you, if people receive that message, the Holy Spirit will direct their steps. And that will transform them and change their nature. And they'll have a desire to serve God. And you know what? The Holy Ghost checks us on what we need to change and fix. We don't need to put that in our church mandate. The Holy Spirit will convict you. If you know, going to get tattoos all of a sudden becomes a problem because you get saved, the Holy Ghost will convict you of that. You know, you don't need that no more. Just don't do that no more. If you know, if the Holy Ghost convinced you to start dressing a little bit different because you're not, you know, been dressing kind of, and it says, you know, he'll convict you of that. So if you don't, you know, the Holy Ghost will lead us and guide us if we'll let it. And it does the convicting. The Bible speaks of that. The Holy Ghost does convict. Boy, there's a lot of noise for 4 or 5 kids back here. what verse are we on now? 24? Yeah. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For those that are called, Christ becomes the power and wisdom in our lives that we need. Because the foolishness of God, look at this, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For see your calling, brethren, how they not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh, the reason he does all that is verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We take no credit for that redemption. We take no credit for knowing God so good. We only know God because he called us. We only know God because he chose us. We only know God because he redeemed us. We only know God because he changed us and saved us and forgave us. No glory in the flesh. No presence. No flesh can glory in the presence of God because our flesh is sinful and our flesh is weak. But he took that sinful flesh and was much stronger. We'll finish up here. A couple more verses. Verse 30 and 31. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, whom God has made unto us wisdom and right. Now look at this. Christ, who God made us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus makes us those things. Jesus makes us redeemed and sanctified and pure and forgiven. Jesus does that. We hear all kinds of folks saying, you know, you got to be sanctified by the way you live, or you go through sanctification by this and by your works. No, Christ sanctified us. Christ redeemed us. Christ set us apart. Christ set us over here. Christ did all the work for us, because we can't do that in ourselves. We're too weak. Even after we're saved, we're too weak to do it ourselves. And we need him to know that mercy is flowing. And then verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Him that glorieth, it all goes to God. Don't glory in yourself. Don't glory in what you've done. Don't glory in who you think you are. Glory in him and him alone. We must not follow messengers. We follow the message of Jesus. And that message ought to be so consistent. In this church, every one of you should have pretty much the same message if you meet somebody outside these walls. You gotta, if they say, what does your church teach, Gail? Our church teaches Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, what kind of music do you have? We have a kind of music that glorifies our Lord. What kind of seats you got? We got seats that sit down that you can glorify the Lord. What kind of people? You got blacks, whites, we got all people that want to glorify the Lord. I mean, we've gotten so divided. It's crazy. And I get those questions all the time. All the time. What kind of music? Kind of people you got coming there? You got bench seats or cushion chairs, you know? What kind of nomination are you? Non-nominated. Oh, really? Well, I like that. Well, yeah, that's what we are. We're not. We're. He was scared, wasn't he? Gene sent Brenda to spy out the church for you. He came. And it's just, it's crazy. Yes. Yes. It means that we're a Christian church. We're not Baptist. We're not Methodist. We're not Pentecostal. Yeah, we're non-nominal. We teach Jesus, and we're not part of an organization. We're just, you know. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they are. Yeah. You tell me we got the best rattlesnakes in the county. If we was a snake handling church, that'd be the best. I can tell you that. That's the way I roll. Do what? So you want to get right, we'll see you tonight. I like that. Right. Right. Yep, they do. So. The church, you understand, I'm not talking about that. We're all God's people. That's what I'm saying. I could have, as long as we're on the same page of Christ, I could have all kinds of different ministers, different denominations that, you know, I used to have a prayer meeting at Iron Memorial I met with on Tuesday mornings several years ago. About four or five of us met, and it was me, it was a guy from a Pentecostal church, a guy from Assembly of God's, a Methodist minister, and a Lutheran minister. And we all would meet, and we would talk, and it was amazing how we shared, how we opened, and how we all really believed the same core. It's just different. I understand Lutherans and different churches are more ceremonial and they go through a little more things and, you know, you can't say amen, whatever. Whatever. But this Lutheran guy that I was friends with, the man knows who I'm talking about, he was a great man of God, and had full confidence that he knew the same Jesus I knew. And we could share our stories. We would lift each other up as ministers. And each one of us would join hands at the end, that little chapel in Iredell, and each one of us would say an individual prayer. Like, I would pray, and we'd squeeze the hand of the next one, let them know, okay, you know, your turn. They would pray, and we went around the circle, and each one of us prayed. And all of us prayed to Jesus, and all of us had the same common core. Styles different? Yes. Yeah, you know, I like a louder church. I like a lively church. You know, I would probably just die in a boring church. I understand that. But it don't mean they don't know Jesus. It just means I just glad I know him the way I do. But, you know, it don't mean I don't know Jesus. And so we got to be on the same page instead of trying to be so divisive. And that's my whole thing, the message. So as we go forth out of these walls, we ought to have the same message, all of us. What we believe in, the same message. Jesus crucified and risen. That's what I believe. We're easy to point out our differences and try to pick apart, you know, man, they don't do that. They don't. And I've been guilty of that as a pastor. You know, I've been in church services where I walked in, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I feel death in here. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And I have to, but as I've grown, I have to realize, you know, everybody's a little bit different. And as long as the message isn't online, the message, listen for the message, then, you know. And here's another thing. There can be a very lively church that their message is not accurate. I mean, I've been in churches that the message wasn't accurate. I mean, where it was lively, shouting churches, but the message wasn't really with God. It didn't line up what the Word of God said. It feels good. I like them kind of services. We like to shout and dance and feel them goosebumps and feel the Holy Spirit move, and that's wonderful. But it don't mean the message is right. And so we have to really guard what the message is and not get caught up in the movement or the messenger, but get caught up in the message. And that's what's important, because there's a lot of ministry faces that are very popular and worldwide known. And, you know, people talk about them more than talk about the message of what they're preaching. So, Mary, it's so good to see our little Mary here tonight. And she drove down all the way from Liberty University in Virginia this evening. You got out of class at 3 o'clock? So you left about 3 o'clock and came straight down here to be at church on Wednesday night. Is that not incredible? I mean, that is wonderful. Drove down. That's what, about a 3-hour drive? Yeah. That is awesome. So thank you. That's really a blessing. All right. Billy Graham Library tomorrow. Be here at 9 o'clock except for Joe and Sharon. We'll pick y'all up at the Lowe's parking lot about 9:30. And Karina and Kevin's going to meet us there and follow us down. But be here at 9 o'clock the rest of you if you want to go. And it's going to be a fun morning. And I think you'll really enjoy it. Have y'all been before, Joe and Sharon? Oh, awesome. I'm glad. Oh, y'all, have you been before, Gail? Who else is going in here? Anybody besides those three going? Mom and Dad are going. Dad's not been, has he? You been? Okay, I know. When you went, he went with us, was he? When you said hold hands. No, you went with that time. Remember you said hold my hand in case we go out here? Yeah, well, you're not talking about tomorrow. Dad wasn't with me there, was he? Okay. Okay. So that's been a few years ago. Yeah, Christmas is nice. But it's not too late. You're 55 or older and decide you want to jump on board tomorrow and be here at 9 o'clock. We'll get you down there somehow. We can squeeze you in a van. Karina's got a minivan. She can get 7 in there, so there's room. If we just get you strapped to the top of the van to Mooresville, we can flip you out from there and take you the rest of the way down. So, but if you want to come along, it's going to be great. It's no cost. It's a free thing to get into. We'll be doing lunch afterwards as well. So, it is. So we're excited about that. Looking forward to it. All right. If you can stand on your feet, we'll close out in prayer. And if you have an offering tonight, you can give that at the end of our prayer. Lord, we thank you that we do have such a strong message that we can stand on, that no matter what man's wisdom accomplishes, no matter what the words try to spew out or say, that, Lord, we are grounded by the message that you have proclaimed, the message you have done. You, Lord, crucified and risen for our sins. That message, God, will save generations to come. That message saved me. It saved my children. It'll save my children's children. That message will. Let us, Lord, not be divided among ourselves. Let us not focus on the things we disagree with. Let us focus on the message that we do agree with, and that is, you are the only way to salvation. Lord, if we will focus and rally around that, we will gain such strength in our walk with you. We'll be such a strength to others outside the walls of proclaiming that message. Bless each one, Lord, tonight. Keep us safe going back home to our houses tonight. Bless the offering that is given, and we'll give you praise for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.